In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favorite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the eras to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidal Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Yes, kia ora to all our listeners across the Pacific. Welcome to Nijan Footy, the best place for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Tinero Aruna, and damn, my voice is struggling this morning.
Welcome back. How was your trip? It seems like you would have been yelling and screaming at the game over Christchurch.
A lot of yelling, a lot of screaming over the weekend in Christchurch. A
few waters.
And coming straight off the plane today, straight to the kitchen, our studio, to cook up a great show for everyone listening today, Sammy.
It's good to have you back.
How was your weekend, mate?
It was good to have you back. Great weekend for myself, the team that I'm coaching, Sydney Uni, the students, our under 20 side. Big victory over West Harbour, 50 points to 12, 40 points at half time. And we started playing with a few things in the second half, like pulled two players off, so we played with 13, so we created some scenarios out there. So not being arrogant,
mate, you made
just practicing scenarios.
You made it an opposed session. You're sad.
Happy with where we're
show
at the
some
moment.
Show some respect to your opponents.
Sorry, we respected them the way we prepared. But anyway, we have some bigger news to fry here. We've got, obviously, NRL round 16. Super Rugby, the grand final. I said it was going to be close. I said it would go down to the wire, and I said it would be entertaining. I got one of those right, T.
It was entertaining.
It was entertaining, yes,
and
it was.
It was an absolute cricket score.
Holy, I didn't see that one coming. So we'll go through that Hurricanes and Chiefs performance. And obviously, we're going to go through your trip to New Zealand, the new stadium in Christchurch. That's going to be unreal.
Yep, round 16 in the NRL.
Yes, we've got that.
And then the NRLW, Shelley, we've got Shelley Long on today. She will cover NRLW trials. So I got to see some of the NRLW Warriors players when I was seated
see
up
Mellon?
In the nosebleeds in the stadium.
Oh, don't throw that out. You got them for free.
Yeah, they were.
Are
for
you
free.
Complaining? Or
no,
grateful?
I'm not complaining. I'm meaning like it was a great view.
Oh, okay. I thought you were complaining about the seats.
No. Up there with me was the NRLW players, and I got to catch up with Mele and cross paths with her. So, yeah, their NRLW season is almost about to kick off, so we'll catch up with Shelley Long. And then today you have a special guest for us, Sammy.
Yeah, we always love to talk about what's happening in the island. So I think we get a really good balance for our audience from across the Pacific to cover what's happening here in Australia and New Zealand and America sometimes, but also we still get to highlight some of the amazing stories that come out of our beautiful island. So today we have two guests on, actually. We have the NRL Tonga GM and Secretary General of Tonga Rugby League, Tavake Whangupō. And we have the under-16s girls captain for the rugby league team for Tonga. Her name is Atalaite Vakautakakala. And they are here in Australia on a tour playing against teams like the West Tigers, the Bulldogs. I believe they've got one more game next week to be confirmed. But I think this is a pretty cool story, and one that we definitely should be highlighting, the opportunities for players to come off the island and experience what it's like to play against their age. You know, what are they doing different to what you're doing on the island? And for some of them, it's their first time on a plane.
Also, what it takes to bring a team here. I think that would be some cool
the logistics
questions that
of
we'll
it.
Ask. It's like,
yes.
You know, you've taken a few teams to Japan, but you have a lot of resources here now, bringing a team from the islands to Australia or New Zealand.
That's passports, it's all of those, like visas and everything like that comes with it. So Tavake has been in that space for a while, growing the game of rugby league in Tonga, so make sure you hang around for that chat.
Moment of the week.
T, moment of the week.
Oh, kia ora, bro.
Oh, kia ora, Ikaz.
Kia ora, bro.
Kia ora, bro. Cheer, whānau. Your voice was a bit croaky. You did come straight off the plane from New Zealand into the studio, so really appreciate your commitment.
It's what it's about,
to the
man.
Cause, it's what it's about. Indonesian footy. But how was the trip there with the old man?
Yeah, it was cool. Nah, really cool trip. Went there for a family business trip and took the old man. And then about a month into this trip, my dad asked me, because I was always wondering, why did he pick this certain date? And then he's gone, hey, you reckon you can get me some tickets, to the game? I'm like, what game? He goes, oh, the Warriors are playing the Cowboys in Christchurch the weekend that we're going there. I go, oh, surprise, surprise. And this game was sold out in 3 days.
Before
when they
the
released
season
it.
Even
I
started.
I believe it was in January.
Yeah.
So people were just struggling to find tickets, and luckily we've got some cool relationships with our players and a good friend of ours, Dallin Watenez-Lesniak. He managed to get some tickets for me and my family. And look, the stadium, you know, I've heard some comments around how beautiful the stadium is, the location of it, like right in town, and every word that was said about the stadium, it's all true.
True.
It's all true. It's walking distance from the city. You go into the stadium and you just, it's like a coliseum where all the seats are probably a bit more angled upwards. So you're looking down into the field and then you've got the glass rooftop. You've got the, you know, fan, it's actually a lot warmer inside as well. So it's cold outside as you go in. It's warmer. You take off your coat and now it's a real special place. And I just felt like it was a stadium that captured the energy of the audience. Yeah, and New Zealand Warriors, you know that they've got a big following. They've got a big, proud fan base. And as we're walking to the stadium, I just heard these drums behind me and these big crowd of people just chanting. I've turned around. It was like the Warriors army led by the Mount Smart Joker, walking down in the middle of the street, making their way to the stadium. So
is Mount Smart Joker, is he like an influencer or a content creator?
The Mount Smart Smart Joker.
I don't know who that
come
is.
Come on. If you've watched the Warriors game, you would have seen the Mount Smart Joker.
Is he dressed up? Talk to me.
He's the one who's got the face paint painted like the Joker. Apparently he's been doing it for, I think it's 20 plus years.
Yeah.
And the reason why I know this, so straight after the game, take my dad to dinner at our hotel, and the Mount Smart Joker walks past and he goes, hey, kia ora. My dad goes, oh, it's Cook Island. So
is he Cookie?
He's Cookie. And he came in, sat down, and we had some cool words. And I asked him, I said, man, I've seen your face, you know, many times, but I've also seen you put a lot of smiles on kids' faces and families' faces just by, you know, the energy that you give. And he goes, I know what this face means. And I know that, you know, put smiles on people's faces, and that's why I do it.
Why am I smiling from ear to ear right now just listening to you talk about that? Like, just
I can't believe you don't know who the Mount Smart Joker is.
No, I don't really know who that is, but I'm sure you're going to show me, and
yeah,
I'll definitely
keep
look it
talking
up.
Because I'm about to show you.
And I'll definitely look him up and look out for him during those Warriors games. But when you talk about that atmosphere, T, obviously there's a game that happens on the grass, but there's also the game that happens outside of it, and there he is. There he looks scary as.
No, it's not scary.
Are you
come
sure
on.
He puts smiles on
he's
their faces?
At every home game, home Warriors game.
That's mad.
So shout out to the Mount Smart Joker.
How good's that? But just finally, just to wrap up the atmosphere, obviously, as I was saying, like, you get to go to the game and experience inside the stadium and, yep, and the Waz fans, but the atmosphere outside, I just love watching, you know, the marches and the parades and everything. Like, when you think about where rugby league's at as a game, like, does there need to be a second New Zealand team coming to the NRL?
Look, my personal opinion is that I don't think the Warriors would want a second NRL team in New Zealand.
After witnessing it firsthand there.
But I think New Zealand could do a second team, second NRL team.
It's a good take.
In New Zealand. I only say,
just because you can, you don't have to.
But I also say, because New Zealand, the Warriors, there's a big fan base. Obviously, if you're from, say if they put a team in the South Island, all your South Island Warriors fans, they now become your inaugural South Island NRL team fan.
Yeah.
So I think it would be a great thing for New Zealand Rugby League. It would send a big message to New Zealand Rugby Union.
please.
And let's just keep expanding and giving the fans what they want. Let's
giving them options. Giving them options. I want to wrap up this chat right now. So then we'll get over to rugby league.
Hi, I'm James Sigiaro, first ever second generation Kumul, number 282. You're listening to Nijan Footy.
There he is, the great man, James Sigiaro.
Man, if you didn't listen to our chat with the great man, James Sigiaro, make sure you go back with it, wherever you find your podcast, and have a listen to his story and some of the wise words he's shared with us that I've got no doubt would help any young aspiring footballer coming through. But let's go NRL Round 16, T, talk to me.
Yes, round 16, and I didn't even mention who won the game. I was that excited to talk about Christchurch.
We can do it in this section.
The Warriors did win their game 38 points to 20 against the Cowboys. And Chance Nickel-Klogstad, the Cook Island rugby league player, he played on the left wing in this game. He hasn't played wing since 2017. And he goes on and scores the first, not one,
not two,
not three, but four tries for the Warriors. And I reckon he could have even scored one or two more, but four tries to get them out to a good lead. Geez, it must be handy to have the availability and the depth in the Warriors system, especially with the number of injuries that are happening in our game. But when you've got Tane at the back to Opiki, and then you just slot in Chance when he's back from injury, and he just goes, all right, put him on the wing, and he goes and scores four tries. What a treat to have in your squad.
Do you think from a point of view, from a mindset of a wing and a fullback, like, again, from an outsider looking in, sometimes you feel like you need to be a fullback because that's sort of like the better position and you're going to be have more involvements. But I feels like this day and age, the wingers are undervalued and what they do on how to finish. And someone like him to be able to transition, do you reckon he would have cared?
I think Chance wouldn't have cared because he would have understood the value that Tane was giving the Warriors leading up to that game.
Yep.
I also think that the wingers in the past have been undervalued, whereas now, bro, I rate them in the top three positions because of the tough carries that they have to do coming out of yardage. So not only do they have to take tough carries and get your sets off to a good start, they have to execute and finish tries as well. And then we've seen Mark Nawanga Nitawase with his, you know, highlight reel and finishing in those very tight corners. But you also need to jump up. You need height as well.
That's exactly my point. Like, you have to be so versatile as a winger. Have the carries of a front rower, have the vertical leap of a basketballer, have the acrobatics of a gymnast to be able to score some of those tries in the corner, in those tight corners, as you said. So there's got to be a point where they've got to be up there with the highest paid at some point.
I think Brian To'o, every winger can thank Brian To'o because of the value that he's given to the Penrith Panthers and the amount of meters that he makes every game. That changed the style of footy, I think.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Back five, getting them off to a good start. The thing is that Brian To'o is not even the complete winger because of his height. And we've seen during State of Origin when JoJo Fifita
jumped over him
and scored. So it is a tough position to play. And look, Chance Nickel-Klogstad, whether he plays wing, fullback, centre, it's handy to have players like him. And we continue on in round 16. We had three games where the winner was won by 1 or 2 points. So last Friday, the Knights managed to hold out the Dragons, and they won 22 points to 20. But Sammy, we've spoken about it before. How important is it to have a sharpshooter and a goal kicker?
It's one where when you're on the other side of the scoreboard, and you've probably done everything you can, especially for the Dragons here, when you've had that losing season and it's starting to click and you couldn't do much more to get the result, but your goal kicker's just not on, and you have those reviews on Monday and you just want to turn to the goal kicker and go, Brass, we wouldn't be having these hard conversations if you had got your kicks.
If you just got one or two kicks.
Just one or two.
So the Dragons were down 22 points to 12. Setu 2 scores a great try. They put a kick. It bounces straight back into his hands. Setutu makes his way in the end goal, closer to the post. 20 minutes to go till full time. It's 22-16. Valentine Holmes has a kick a few metres outside of the right post. He shanks it, and it goes across the post. So they've still got time. But
is that in that tough position that you always talk about?
Nah, this is
this one's easy. You should have thrown it
this
over.
This is easier. Yeah, I could have kicked this one over.
Still love you, Val. We're just analysing this. That's all.
So 22-16, he misses the first kick. And then 10 minutes ago, they score again on the sideline. He actually strikes this one nicely. So he hits it nice, and he hits the right goalpost. And it bounces out.
Oh.
It bounces off, so it doesn't go in. They end up losing this game 22 points to 20. The Knights score three tries. They kick three from three, and then they kick two penalty goals. The Dragons scored four tries, so more tries, but only kicked two from four.
That's heartbreak. That is heartbreak. They just, can't seem to get it together, the Dragons, but... Hopefully they're out there. Val's doing some goal kicking this week.
Yep, and then the Titans, the young gun, Zane Harrison, he kicks a field goal. He's the difference. I think it's his sixth game in the NRL, beating the Panthers 19 points to 18. This is the Panthers' only second loss this season. Look, they did have no Cleary, no Yowie, and no To'o resting after last week's State of Origin matches. But, what a way to win for the young kid, Zane Harrison, and kick that field goal against the competition favourites.
Did you like the Titans jerseys, the old Gold Coast Chargers one?
They did look cool.
I thought it looked very retro. I really liked it.
I reckon you need to have a great body to make it look that cool.
A great body?
Yeah, look at all those boys.
Oh, so like we couldn't pull it off if we put that jersey.
I could probably pull it off.
Get out of it.
I did like the colourway. It did look very retro. It looks cool. The Bulldog in the last game, the Bulldogs, they beat the Manly Sea Eagles 13 points to 12. And we just spoke about how important a good kicker is. Stephen Crichton, he was the difference in this one. Scoring a try, kicking two from two, and then kicking a field goal.
He's a field goal specialist, isn't he?
Yeah, he knows where to place himself. Just outside the 30, deep enough to stay away from the markers and all that pressure. So it gives them enough time to just slot it over. And Manly, an off day with the boot. They did score more tries, so same as the Knights, they did score more tries. They scored three and two going to Lehi Hopoate, but they missed all three kicks, and they lost the game 13 points to 12.
Goal kicking, it is a skill that is necessary in both codes, and when you get it right, man, you can have a field day out there. When you get it wrong, well... that's what happens. So, hey, big results over the weekend. And to wrap us up, T, the ladder, what's it looking like?
Yes, the ladder. So Panthers remain on top with 28 points and the Warriors outright second with 24. But there is a number of teams from third all the way down to eighth place where they're on 22 or 20 points. So a very tight race to try and get into that top four. And then you've got a couple racing for that top eight spot in Cowboys, Tigers, the Storm.
Man, who would have
thought the Storm of the Smoky?
Do you reckon they'll jump in there?
I reckon the Storm will end up creeping in.
Broncos? Are we riding the Broncos off? They're at 13th.
So the Broncos, 13th place with 14 points. I mean, if they do win a couple games, they are in the race, but I just don't see them winning enough games to sneak into that top eight. At the top there, you've got third, the Dolphins, fourth, the Roosters, but it is a very, very tight race in that top eight. So early days still. We've still got the last game of State of Origin. There is a number of injuries across the NRL, so just depending on who will have the fittest team come the business end of the NRL season.
No, I'm looking forward to obviously that end of the NRL season, but also Origin. Looking like us keen to get your thoughts as the weeks go to game three.
Pick your one Smokey in the NRL ladder at the moment. Who do you think?
Ooh.
Creeps into the top four.
Top four? Smokey? The Dolphins wouldn't be a Smokey, would they?
Actually, who do you think's going to be in the grand final looking at the competition right now?
I am going to go Panthers. You've already said Panthers Warriors before, and I didn't have one. So I'm going to go Panthers Dolphins.
Panthers Dolphins grand final?
Yep.
All right.
That's my smoky grand final.
I think the Dolphins will finish top four.
Four short.
And but then you I say the same thing about the Warriors. The one certainty is probably the Panthers are going to be playing the grand final.
There's no certainties in any codes, that's for sure. But I know we're going to talk more rugby league with Shelley Long. Yep. And as I said, we're going to look forward to the upcoming Origin. We're going to talk more about that in the coming weeks to get your thoughts too. I'm really keen to see some of the changes that will be made and get your thoughts on that one. But that's all we got time for there. Done with rugby league.
All done, mate.
All done and dusted. Let's get over to rugby union.
Bonjour, je m'appelle John Olivia. Vous écoutez Tunisian Footy.
And now in English.
Hi, my name is John Olivia. You're listening to Tunisian Footy.
Oh, good.
My man.
And yes, you are listening to Tunisian Footy. Nijan Footy with Sammy Wykes and Tinero Aruna. Sammy, rugby union, the big dance on the weekend. Wellington Hurricanes versus the Chiefs. What do you got for us?
Holy man,
Cricket score.
As I said at the top of the show, I did think it would go down to the wire. I did think it would be a very close game. And I knew it was going to be highly entertaining, but I couldn't believe it. That's probably the most dominant performance I've ever seen from a side, not only from the grand final, but leading into it from the quarters, semis, and into the grand final. So in the quarterfinals against the Brumbies, they put 60-odd points on them. In the semifinal against the Blues, they put 50-odd points on them. And then against the Chiefs, who beat the Crusaders and put 50 on the Crusaders in their semifinal, come out and only score 5 points, and the Hurricanes were dominant from the first whistle to the final whistle. 60 points to 5, T. What's more impressive, the 60 points they scored or the 5 points they let in?
I reckon they'd be pretty gutted around the 5 points that they let
in. You reckon they were gutted?
60-0 would have looked pretty cool.
That would have been unreal, and that's a new record for Super Rugby with that scoreline. But honestly, it was just such a dominant performance from the Hurricanes. And I want to take you back to round four when the Hurricanes lost to the Fijian Drua over in Fiji. They flew straight from Fiji to Sydney after that loss. They lost 25 points to 20. And they were taking on the Waratahs and they were training at Sydney Uni where I coach. And I had a chat with their assistant coach, Corey Jane, is a former Hurricane legend who's won a grand final with the Canes back in 2016. He's All Blacks legend, had the best fend going around in the game. But I asked him about that loss in Fiji and the style that they play, very expansive, keeping the ball alive, taking a lot more risk, not scripted in terms of different zones that you play. If there's an opportunity, they're playing, they're taking it, no matter what part of the field they're in. And I was just asking around the conditions in Fiji, was it wet? Did you play too much footy over there? And his answer stuck with me ever since. And it's honestly probably the best piece of coaching insight I've heard in a very long time. And he said the conditions weren't the issue, it was our execution. It was like going, we created that many opportunities, we just needed to execute. So we need to practice our game, as in our game, as in the Hurricanes game, under all sorts of pressure in any type of conditions. And that will allow us and give us the confidence in the back end of the season where it counts the most. Like, how good's that?
As a coach, what does that look like? How do you practice execution?
It is having the license to train for chaos within your training session. So if you have mistakes, it's fine. You just play. You just keep training chaos in your transition from attack to defense, defense to attack, and letting the game flow.
So
these, at training.
So these like offside touch games where players are all over the place and they're just trying to create opportunities, and instead of just trying to play basic structured rugby,
yep,
they encourage them to find that extra man and push the pass.
Find the space, create the space. So what the Hurricanes were very good at is creating a lot of one-on-one opportunities. One through their skill set, you know, their hips being square, the ball finding the man in like right in front of him. And so those one-on-one opportunities just allowed them to get quick ball every single time. So when they did strike, bro, their wingers had a field day. Like Fehi Finianga Nofo, he had an outstanding year. He scored 17 tries this Super Rugby season. So he's now the top try scorer in one season for Super Rugby. And he got that in that grand final. But that's why their wingers had a field day.
How did it look like that in the grand final? So the way everything that the coach just mentioned there,
yep,
everything was tuned in. So come that, or even these last three games, the quarter, semi and final, every player was in tuned, every player had the confidence and they executed.
Under pressure and all sorts of conditions, because the conditions in the quarter final against the Brumbies, windy Wellington, 50 kilometre winds, 50 mils of rain fell. And the opening sort of sequence of them, when you think, oh, we might play a bit conservative and kick, boom, out the back, flick ball, create space on the edge. And they did that again in the grand final, 62 kilometre winds. And in Wellington, like, it swirls. So it's not like one way you're running with the wind or you're running against it. Depending on where it's swirling, you saw the corner posts like nearly parallel to the floor. When the ball went up from like a box kick or out of the hand from a pass, it just floated around. So like under those conditions, they still had the attacking mindset and the confidence to play.
And then looking at the Chiefs during this game, did they look like a defeated team early?
Very early. So the Hurricanes, and it's a good point you bring up, because the Hurricanes kicked off. So they kicked deep and they knew that sort of that corner, they would have had to try and either play out or kick out, and it would have been tough to kick out. And one of their points that popped up on the TV screen, because they show the coaching points, was to get at Damian McKenzie, the Chiefs 10, cut his time and space down. And they did that from the get-go. I think the first 15 minutes, they didn't really cross over the 50-meter mark, even though they had a lot of possession. But they just went after him and just made it really hard for him to get to a clean kick or get to a pass away, and they just found it hard to get out of trouble. And what that did was, for the Hurricanes, was just allow them to just stay on top of them. Even though they turned the ball over a couple of times, but they just stayed on top of them and their chance came and they made the most of it when it did.
When you think of our Australian teams, what can they take out of this game?
I think really back in your game. Whatever your game is, understand what it is that you're good at and double down on it, and don't be so don't be so reactionary to the early opposition.
And early results as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So, not only the Australian teams, but we're talking about
I think it's everyone. So again, the draw is a classic example. Yeah. I felt, and I said that at the beginning of the year, that I feel like they tried to play too much like everyone else, but their game is unstructured. So if you're spending 80% of your time doing that, the rest will come. You'll fix up the rest of it. But I just feel like, you know, the South Africans, they have a style that they play. And you know it's coming, you just got to try and stop it. And the Hurricanes knew that to a T. And I thought that was the biggest point of difference. And what Corey Jane said to me, I was like, that stayed with me for, you know, how I want to coach. Making sure what we're good at, know what you're good at, boom, let's double down on it and go after it. So big congrats to the Hurricanes and the Chiefs, man. That's four grand finals in a row that they've lost. That's crazy. Four grand finals. So that's it for Super Rugby. And I also want to give a big congrats to John Olungia. We heard him in the ID there speaking English and French. He was the Wallabies scrum coach, like fielding last year. He's at the Brumbies as their scrum coach. He's now signed on as the Wallabies scrum coach to the end of 2028. So massive congrats to him. And that's us for rugby, T. Done.
We're going to cover the squads. Ari Savia,
captain for the All Blacks. So tune in for Friday. We'll have a deep dive into all the international squads.
Yeah, nice.
We've also got Shelley Long, because the Super Rugby Women's competition was underway. She's got results from that, and obviously NRLW just around the corner.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
Yes, we are blessed with her presence again. Shelley Long, our PNG Orchid. NRLW, Shelley, has kicked off. The trials over the weekend, what has caught your eye?
Yeah, the trials officially kicked off. Pre-season's finally finished for the girls. They do have this week, but I feel like they'll be very much so a taper week leading into next week's round games. But for me, there was a number of games that stood out to me, particularly North Queensland Cowboys winning against the Gold Coast Titans here in Townsville. It was a great game for them. The Cowboys just played well, and I think they've got a really good squad moving into the season. But the other two that really stood out to me was actually the Brisbane Broncos versus the Warriors. It was played over in New Zealand. It was a very close game, 12-10. The Warriors were up originally at the beginning of half of the game, and the Broncos came back towards the back end. But I think leading into a season, having such a strong trial match against a team like the Brisbane Broncos will definitely give the Warriors some confidence.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier in the show, I was in Christchurch and walked past Mele Hufanga and a few of the NRLW Warriors girls, and I said, "Oh, how was the game?" And they said, Netta Claudia Norsala, she mentioned that they were quite happy with the way that performed, even though they lost by a couple points. They were happy. I don't think Mele played, so I'm assuming that a couple of their stars were missing. But very early days, and I think Warriors will be a threat this year alongside some other teams who have recruited really well.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think when you watch that game, you see that some of their key signings weren't a part of that game. So they will be strengthened as they move on and progress through the weeks. But the other main game that I really enjoyed watching was actually the Sydney Roosters beat the Cronulla Sharks 28-4 in that game. It was very impressive. Originally, when I looked at the score at halftime, it was 6-6. And then in that second half, the Roosters really dominated, and they ended up taking away an impressive win in that game.
I want to touch on our rugby union convert at the Cowboys, Ash Masters, our Cook Island friend. How did she go in that trial game?
She did outstanding. She actually is already on the highlights reel for the North Queensland Cowboys, so it's great to see her out there, and I think she is absolutely excelling in what she's doing here in rugby league.
And right. What position is she playing?
She's playing prop.
Oh, in the middle.
Like forward.
So pretend you're a commentator and you're watching that highlight that you just mentioned. Talk us through it.
Oh, we've got... I can't remember them.
Oh, we've got... Ash Masters, the rugby union convert, takes the ball up the middle. Now, have you got something
all right,
for
what,
me?
What does she do well? What was the highlight?
Well, the highlight for me was a middle forward had run the ball, and Ash Masters just gets a nice, clean, under-the-ball tackle, lifts her up, puts her down on the ground. It's a slow play, the ball, so, you know, in rugby league, that's what we love most.
And how did she look adjusting to the game of rugby league?
Getting back 10 metres,
getting
off
back,
the deck.
The effort-on-effort areas, taking strong carries. How did she look as a rugby league player?
I think when I kind of watched her, and I also watched a number of sevens players come into this game and rugby union players, I think there is still a slight time that they need to adjust in terms of the game and how it works and just little things that come with the game of rugby league. But I think as the games progress and when they have more exposure to playing rugby league, I think they'll definitely dominate.
Bit of time in the saddle. They'll be right. Looking forward to the start of the NRLW season, which is next week.
Yes, so next week on Thursday, we have our first game kicking off, the Sharks versus the Knights in Sydney. And then for two main games to keep an eye out, the first one would be on Saturday, the 4th of July, the Cowboys versus the Broncos in Brisbane, followed by Sunday, the 5th of July, the Eels versus the Tigers in Sydney.
Yeah, big games ahead. We're looking forward to that. But let's go over to Super Rugby for the women's. Man, the Drua, they had an impressive win over the Brumbies.
They did. They had a dominant win over the Brumbies. They won 41-25, and they are now top of the ladder in terms of the Super W competition. And when we look at that game, though, they, statistics-wise, shouldn't have won, but a lot of their efforts and areas they do really well at. And For me, who really stood out was Nahamu for the Fijian Drua. She was outstanding. There was one try that she scores on the wing, where the wing comes in, she just pops around the edge, they offload to her and she gets that try. But then there was the one where she comes flying out of the line, does an amazing intercept and a full field try essentially for her. So I think when you watch that game, there was a lot of tough kind of factors to it. She did get sent in the bin and the Brumbies were able to come back during the first half of the game. But in that second half, I think the Fijian Drua did really well.
Yeah, it's good to see they took that one out, 42 points to 25 over the Brumbies. And then in the other game, the Western Force got over the Reds, 21 points to 17. So Sarah Nagama is very happy that they were able to sing the team song. So with the other girls, so get over to the socials and have a look at the girls going hard at that. But Shelley, really appreciate your time. And we're going to check in with you again next Monday.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, it's Greg Marju from Newcastle Knights, and you're listening to New Zealand Footy.
T, the rise of Tonga's National Rugby League teams has honestly inspired a new generation of young boys and girls dreaming of becoming the next Jason Taumalolo, Isaiah Katoa, or even Tiana Benatani-Gray. And now there's a genuine pathway to help support those dreams. And currently the Tonga Under-16s boys and girls teams are here in Australia touring. They've played against sides like the West Tigers and Bulldogs development sides so far. And for many of the players, many of the boys and girls, it's their first time leaving Tonga, jumping on a plane and experiencing a new culture. And joining us to talk all about the tour so far, we have Tavake Whangupō from the NRL Tonga GM and Secretary General of Tonga Rugby League, and the Under-16 Girls Captain, Atelaite Vakautakakala. Thank you for joining us on Nisian Footy. Tavake.
Hello.
Malolei. And Laite, it's good to have you on as well. How are you feeling so far?
Good.
A little bit nervous?
Yes.
don't be. Okay, well let's start with you, Tavake. This tour, it's an important tour around touring, and getting exposure to the young boys and girls and seeing what it's about. Like, how many years have you been going for now, this tour?
Thanks, Sam. We started this tour back in 2023 when we travelled over with our under-16 boys. We started at St. Gregory's. So this is going on to our fourth year. It's the fourth year of the tour, but it's the third year that we've brought in the under-16 girls. So yeah, it's great that we are able to sort of bring our young raw talent from the Pacific Islands, to showcase their talent here in Australia, and not just through sport, but also for them to experience what rugby league looks like, from an elite professional level. So it's always exciting for us back at home, where we can run these junior programs for boys and girls and also provide opportunities that they can travel here. And as you mentioned before, most of them, 99% of them, is first time on a plane, first time you get a Tonga passport. So it's a great experience for them. But using our program, Rugby League, is a great pathway and opportunity.
I know that it's a very special thing that, the initiative that you do for your people in Tonga and for the kids and the memories that they'll hold for a long time. But I could also imagine some of the challenges and having to try and bring two teams over from Tonga to Australia. What are some of the big challenges when you do look to organise to bring a team over?
Biggest challenge is always funding. That's always our biggest fund. Obviously that's a big part of it. Travel and accommodation is not cheap. But over the years, we've been able to sort of get a lot of support through the Tongan government and also through the NRL in regards to helping us with insurances and other ground costs, and also local sponsors back in Tonga who support our program, and knowing it's boys and girls and we're trying to create opportunities. So it's a mixture of funding, but that's always been my biggest challenge. But as the years have gone by, the government, local sponsors, and the NRL have seen some great outcomes of our program, and also because we're involving boys and girls. So the challenges are getting less, but it's still a challenge. We're still building on that over the years, and hopefully we get to a point where it's a fixed funding sort of model where it allows us to just continue bringing kids on set calendar dates rather than having to set dates depending on when we can get funds.
Yeah, it's always a massive challenge, you know, getting the funding sorted so everyone can have that opportunity. And it's not a barrier if, you know, someone wants to go but can't afford. You've got to find a way to find that money. And I guess being a part of some of those fundraising events late there, were there any concertis back home to help fundraise, you know, from the villages and the families?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you have to dance to help fundraise as well?
Yes.
What is where is your village in Tonga?
Pakam.
Whereabouts is that in reference to, say, Nuku'alofa or the main? Whereabouts in reference to that to Friends Cafe?
Miles away, mate.
Miles away.
this is in the eastern part. Sorry, the western part of Tonga. You're familiar with Lehona?
Oh, yep. Yep.
The Pakam is right behind that.
Awesome.
Late there, what's been your favourite part so far in travelling to Australia?
Get to experience more lifetime in Australia and learn more new things from players like Tigers that we play against them. I've learned more about them, and it's a good experience for me to improve my play and also to my teammates.
Ah, oh, that's cool. What position do you play?
Hook.
Hooker?
Yeah.
Nice. Yes.
And you're the captain of the team. You know, how excited are you to be the captain of your under-16s national team?
So being the captain of the team, is it not easy, but then I try my best to be a good leader to them and being able to behave and also being a good example for them so that everything could be easy everyone.
That's a great answer. I can see why you are the captain. You've already played a game so far. Who did you play against first?
Tiger.
The Tigers. And what was the score in that game?
16-12.
To Tonga or to the Tigers?
To the Tigers.
It was a close one. So from that game, what was different about playing against the Tigers compared to playing a game back in Tonga?
So playing against the Tigers was they did well in their game plan. Back in Tonga, they don't really play smart. They just wanted to run with the ball, but playing with the Tiger, they did the game plan inside.
Awesome. And what about the fitness? How was the fitness levels?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I love it. How good.
Hey, Tavake, I know being here in Sydney, there's a big Tongan community, and one of my friends is actually trying to help organise the game for the boys this weekend. And we both coach our under-16s Penrith Junior Rugby League clubs. So a few of those players that he's asked for are from my team. I'm like, here's the parents' numbers. I allow it because I know how important it is for our people. But what I've found here for the Tongan players, they're now growing up to want to play for Tonga. They don't want to play for Australia. They don't want to play for New Zealand. So when my friend Sasai Vave, he asked the parents, all the boys said straight away, yeah, I want to play because I want to represent Tonga. When you go into these games, can you feel the sense of community, you know, the Tongan community all come and help support the two teams that you've brought over?
100%. I think since 2017, we've seen that wave of support, you know, whether it's grassroots to elite, you know, just looking at on Saturday afternoon's game, you know, the amount of Tongans that came to Campbelltown from different parts of Australia to just watch and support their nieces, their cousins, you know, you see the red flags around as well too. And I think the community with Tigers were quite surprised how many Tongans actually came to the game. But yeah, it's exciting to always see that the same sort of support that our national team get, we also get for the young kids, you know, and that's what it's all about for me and kids, is that, you know, they have pride wearing the jersey, but also knowing that no matter where you are in the world, that there's always Tongans around to support you when he put on that red jersey by the time. Exciting times, you know, and it's always great to see these kids wear the jersey. And I've been around for a while, but, you know, I think for me it's all about these kids and the future of Tonga Rugby League.
Yeah, was there enough sausages and chicken dropped off? One of our vice presidents, Connor Atta, dropped some sausages and chicken off to you guys. Was there enough there for everyone?
There's probably enough for three teams, but we're eating it all.
Nah, awesome.
No, just kidding. No, thanks, Connor. You know, thanks for your blessing.
Nah, all good. Anywhere we can support, we will. But, you know, when we T talked about, you know, people wanting to play for Tonga, you know, because of the influence of Andrew Fifita, Tom Malolo and those type of players. Like, how big is rugby league growing in Tonga? Because, you know, rugby union was predominantly the chosen code over there, but now it just seems like rugby league is growing and growing over in Tonga.
Yeah, it's kind of had a bit of a shift, probably more so after the last 3 or 4 years, where there's a lot more awareness of the rugby league program. As you're aware, Sam, I've been involved with the NRL program for 10 years now. So the NRL brand has been there for a while, more around our Voice Against Violence and our League for Life program. But as the sport participation has really picked up over the last 4 years, it's really engaged a lot of kids. You know, we're now more investing in the grassroots boys and girls, as with, I believe, the rugby union's more around the senior players. So we're getting a lot bigger participation numbers now in the under 12s, under 13s, under 15s. So it's exciting times ahead that we can see that we'll have a lot more boys and girls playing the game in the near future. But yeah, I think that's probably what rugby league in Tonga is doing well in Tonga, is that the investment in grassroots junior kids and rather than the open age.
And like that, what rugby league team do you follow?
NRL team.
Broncos.
The Broncos?
Oh, the Broncos.
When you grow up, who do you want to play for?
Tonga.
Tonga,
yeah. How good. When you left Tonga to come to Australia, how happy was your family that you got to go on an experience, a tour like this, but also that you're the captain of the national team?
My father was so proud of me, and he was happy to get that I've become the captain to lead my team.
That's cool.
And what are they asking for you to take back for them?
Oh, how good. And like there, when you think about, you know, playing for Tonga and you get to sing the anthem, or I'm not sure, or sing the himis, you know, how happy does that make you as well that you get to showcase and represent your country like that and lead that and do that here in somewhere like Australia?
It made me being proud of who I am and the country I've playing for, and it inspires me to play hard just to make my country, families and all supporters to be proud of us for representing the country.
Ah, that's so good. I know that they'll all be very, very proud of you. Tavake, yeah, how much does it mean to you to be able to provide this opportunity for the kids of Tonga, and you know, how does that make you feel when you see their connection grow and how they represent the nation and their families?
Yeah, it means a lot, T. You know, just hearing what Leite is saying, you know, and the emotion that's coming out of it, you know, it makes me emotional too to hear the words and just see how excited these kids are. They're growing up in New Zealand and living in Tonga now for 15 years, knowing what the benefits and resources are overseas compared to living in Tonga, and what these kids have and what they don't have, you know, just being grateful and also just, you know, just, yeah, always, it's all emotion. But yeah, I just love the kids, and that's where I love to spend my time.
Awesome. Like, there's some lighthearted questions here. Do you prefer, what's your favorite lu? Is it lu kapapulu or lu sipi? What's your favorite lu?
I'll say
Lu Sipi. Lu Sipi. Have you had any Lu Sipi here in Australia yet?
No.
No one's brought any over yet? Okay, we'll make sure we get some Lu Sipi out to you. Okay, what's your favorite otai? Watermelon? Mango? Watermelon. How good, how good. And after your win, when you have your guys win, what's your favorite meal to have after your game, when you win especially?
I say soup, chicken soup.
Chicken soup. Hey, how good.
I haven't heard that one before.
Okay, I'll bring some chicken soup for you after the game. awesome. So, Devake, who how long do you have left of the tour, and who do you have left to play?
Yep, we've got another 7 days of the tour. Tomorrow night, we're playing the Bulldogs. 6 p.m. kickoff for the girls and 7:30 p.m. kickoff for the boys. We're working now towards the last game on Saturday before we head home back to Aotearoa and Wendy.
Awesome work. Well, I really appreciate your time coming on. Late there, you did an amazing job. Make sure you keep practicing the interviews, because you're going to be captain for Tonga at a World Cup at some point. So we'll just keep practicing, getting better at the interviews. But you're doing an amazing job. Good luck this weekend. And Devake, honestly, the work that you're doing over in Tonga to inspire, to create opportunities, keep leading the way, man, because it's going to pay dividends. Or it already has, but it's going to pay dividends in the future. O whalahi atu and much love. Take care.
Malo te, malo te, o whātu.
Give me three answers for this one.
Yes, you're listening to Nijin Footy with Tinirau Aruna and Sam Wykes. This is our version of Give Me Three, where we wrap up our show.
So just for clarity, because we've had some feedback from our listeners, they don't know what Give Me Three is. It's categories, yeah? Like, we choose a category and one of us will ask the three questions. And I just got to give you three answers back from that category.
Okay, Sammy.
Let's go.
Well, last week you asked me, what was it? The Tongan tri-scorers over the weekend. So I'm going to stick with the heritage theme.
Okay.
And I'm going to go, give me three Cook Islanders that have played in the NRL for the Penrith Panthers.
Ooh.
Three Cook Islanders that have played in the NRL for the Penrith Panthers.
I was going to jump the gun and when you, I was thinking try scorers, and I was going to go Chance. the Cook Island try scorers from the weekend.
And you do know these players as well.
Do I know these players?
Yes, you do. One is very close to me.
Is very close?
Yes.
Close as to you.
Very, very close. Oh. Yes.
Jeff Daniela.
Oh, Jeff Daniela. Yes, that is one. Yes,
okay, there's one. Is that the one you were thinking? Jeff.
No, it wasn't actually.
Oh, so there's another one that's close to you.
Yes, very close.
Very, very close again. Paul Fatawira.
Are you locking that in?
He's Māori, eh?
Come on.
Man, why don't I know this?
He's been on our show.
I'm thinking Dallin, but is he Tongan as well?
He's been on our show.
He's been on our show.
And we're very close. Couldn't be.
For the Panthers. For the Panthers? Oh, it's killing me here.
Couldn't be much closer.
Couldn't be much closer. Like that close. And yes. We've had him on.
Yes.
Does he have a mullet?
No.
Okay, so it's not Dallin. He doesn't have Cookie in him with Tongan. Oh, man, I'm drawing blanks here, T. I am absolutely drawing blanks here.
Could be related.
It could be related. It's not yourself, is it?
What?
You haven't played for the Panthers, have you? No.
Not in the NRL, no.
Not in the NRL. Oh, my goodness, T.
Has a famous brother.
Has a famous brother.
Oh, my days.
How famous are we talking?
New Zealand famous.
New Zealand famous. I'm out.
You're kidding me.
Waving the white flag here. I've got nothing.
Related, very close to me, been on our show, has a famous brother who's also an All Black, ex-All Black.
It can't be Tupou.
Tupou has played for Penrith.
Has he played for Penrith in the NRL?
Yes, he has.
I thought he was only at the Sharkies. Don't give me that point. I had nothing there.
And then
who was the other one?
Isaac John.
Oh, yes, the Iceman.
Yes.
Was there anyone else?
Zane Tetevanu.
Zane, okay.
But yeah, I knew you'd get Jeff and Toops.
Nah, I didn't even get Toops, but we'll take one out of three. I don't mind that, T. I actually like that because it helps me understand who is out there, who's representing who for different clubs. But that is our time up for today. Make sure you tell your footy loving friends about Nijin Footy. Find it wherever you get your podcast or on the ABC Pacific website. And we will catch you on Friday for Nijin Footy Fridays.
Ka kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.